Jones and Keefe. We are live from Gillette Stadium on WEEI, presented by McFarland Energy. The heating, cooling, and bioheat delivery pros at Eastern Mass and all of Cape Cod depend on at McFarlandEnergy.com. Tommy Tuesday, if you're watching on twitch.tv/BostonWEEI, which you should be. Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston. I just blow out your eardrums there, Tommy.
On that initial,
first syllable. White Stripes. They'll get you. They'll get you going. It's no. What were you singing when you came up here?
I was singing Steelers wheels. Steelers wheels stuck wheel. In the middle with you. If you guys have seen Reservoir Dogs,
sure.
Stephen Wright was your DJ on that particular program. Mm-hmm.
Curran, your takeaways here on day six. What I know you're watching the receivers very, very close. What was your big sweeping takeaway today?
Sweeping takeaway was, again, another fun practice. I think the offense is doing better than I would have imagined. And that was echoed by both Cole Strange when we talked to him and Josh Dobbs, who said a little uneven in terms of the high red zone and the low red zone. That's being inside the 10 or even down around the 5 at the early portion of practice. But Dobbs thought that they showed much better in the latter portions, and they did. A lot of quick opening stuff. You should see the defense get their hands on footballs, and they did. So my overall from today was it's a pretty fair fight right now, and we've watched the last few years, Rich, not fair fights. Guys wandering through the offensive line with their hand up going, someone should have blocked me. So it's been pretty fair. Phil Perry did a good job on some of the one-on-ones. He said Jared Wilson had a Joe Tooney-esque day in one-on-ones.
Ooh.
Nice.
Put down Barmore, put down Williams. He said that Campbell was much better in the one-on-ones. Notes of concern that you guys have probably already told your listeners. Gonzalez not out there. I think the hope is that that's day-to-day and not week-to-week. Garrett Bradbury got rolled on, I think, and he spent the rest of the practice out. And it looked like Morgan Moses was in a maintenance day. He left after some of the positional stuff.
Where are we at on Morgan Moses? Because that was a name we have brought up. It seemed like they were, you know, a little bit of a pitch count, which is fine for veteran guys. Some of the reporting yesterday and some of the stuff we saw from up here, he wasn't really his best when he was out there. And then today, whether it's a maintenance day or something else, like how sure can we be that he is the starting right tackle week one?
I think you can be very sure. How good is he relative to the rest of the NFL? We'll see. Is he a liability? Does he need help on occasion? I think he's going to be a good run blocker, but, you know, the matchup that he's seeing a lot is Harold Landry, who's a friggin' water bug. I mean, it's really interesting.
Well, it's funny looking at the is that a safety
who's
up
two
here?
Lined
like,
up wide?
That's a DN. He looks
Landry,
like a little, maybe it's the number, maybe it's the two, but he looks like a littler guy.
He's booking, as we used to say back in the 70s around the end. He's booking, but he is. I think it's a tough matchup for Morgan Moses, but I don't think that they are sitting there going, "Oh my God, we have to do something about right tackle." But we'll see how that progresses. Layden Robinson was the guy who came in, I believe. No. It wasn't Layden Robinson. Who came in after him? DeMontre Jacobs.
Jacobs, right?
That's what DeMontre Jacobs was the second man up there.
Yeah, we saw a lot of Jacobs last year.
Yeah, maybe too much. I think we're seeing too much of him this year. Yeah. With I know they're managing Morgan Moses, but I think we're seeing too much of him this year. So today sounded like a better day. We had read some of Phil's tweets in real time. I didn't realize he referred to it as a Tooney-esque day for Jared Wilson. A lot of the writers, Phil included, were highlighting a better day for Will Campbell, as you just detailed. Through 6 days, dialing it back, how do you feel like the offensive line has looked compared to a year ago? Your colleague, our colleague, Andy Hart, said, coming into today anyway, he actually thinks it's looked worse.
Wild take.
As an O-line this year than a year. You think it's a wild take?
Absolutely. I'm like, how? What? Where? Why? What? In what way? I mean, we would, relative to last year, it might have been one of the worst offensive lines ever assembled. We sat up here and watched that Philadelphia practice, remember?
Yeah.
And it was just chaos. They couldn't even get the ball snapped.
Philly dominated that. Philly turns out good team, but still.
Yeah, it turns out they can play.
Yeah.
We watched the first day of padded practice yesterday, and the somewhat question mark fourth overall pick, at least relative to him being the fourth overall pick, looked really good in 11-on-11. So he got ragdolled in this first time, you know, going against a superhero physique guy in Keon White. How did he play in 11-on-11? It's good. Is Jared Wilson, you know, capable? I mean, Cole Strange continues to be, in my mind, a guy who is a more than serviceable NFL starter who's been snake bitten, thus thrown in the bin of, yeah, this guy's a bust, can't play. I just don't think he is that. So I don't know why Andy said that. I don't know where he gets off. I don't know what.
How dare he?
I don't know.
First of all,
how dare you? It's that kind of wrongheadedness that is the type of thing that you're going to get from 2 to 6.
Okay? Mm-hmm. That's true. And you'll join them on Thursdays.
Yes.
You can talk to those guys, break it down on Thursdays.
You can yell at them then.
Are we to look at sort of the emergence of Chasen as like maybe this guy has found something, or is it maybe more speak to what the offensive line is? Because it seems like he's popping up all the time, like in the backfield and making a lot of plays.
First round pick,
yeah.
Formerly,
yep.
And continues to be a first round pick. You're always a first.
You always will be.
I would say that he's more carving a role than the offensive line looking like ass.
Okay.
I just don't think that they look horrendous. I don't. Interesting today, too, to veer a little bit on the content. I don't know how much you guys mentioned it earlier, but to see some of the read options, some of the stuff
yes.
getting out on the edge.
I like that.
Was a nice wrinkle to see Josh McDaniels starting to feature some of the stuff that he might not have done previously, because we have heard and we have talked about that these guys keep standing in front of the mic and saying, yeah, same offense. Well, that wasn't the same.
No,
right.
like you said, there was some option, there was some read option, there were some design runs, which is noticeable, I think, compared to some of the other days out of what we've seen. So maybe some new wrinkles in the McDaniels offense. How do you feel? Drake May, to our eyes, had been pretty strong. We weren't here on Saturday, but had been pretty strong throughout most of camp. Not a lot of throwing yesterday. Today, more throwing. It seemed like maybe a half step back for May. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think it was fair compared to where he's been. Is Phil, who I always rely on, because we rely on each other's eyes, as you guys do, as everybody does with their
sure.
work colleagues.
Our eyes up here, we found, have not worked great. We're further away than we realize, and our eyes are really letting us down. So this is why we're bringing in somebody whose
That's
eyes
right.
we actually trust. Yeah.
We saw, for instance, it was a completion to Steph Diggs down in this corner of the end zone. He stepped out. You're not going to get credit
yeah,
for
see,
that.
Yeah, see, our bad eyes also thought he stepped out, so I'll take that.
I thought he stepped out before he even got
That's
the ball
what
and
I'm saying.
Stepped out again. Yeah.
No, he stepped out before.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, Phil. Wave it off. Wave it off. I gave him a couple bobble calls. But as Phil pointed out, and I thought it was really good, he goes, he made some really, really good throws, and then there was some wild misses. Nice throw to Diggs down at the other end zone that was complete, dropped it in. He also dropped one in the bucket. There was a couple of nice catches, too. One by Javon Baker, kind of going treetop in the end zone, plucking it, amassing, if you will.
Yeah, that was from Dobbs, yep.
And Jalen Polk also had, didn't count, but an absurd one-handed catch.
Yeah.
I mean, just, so, okay, there's signs of life. I don't know what to, at least fogging up the mirror, as they say.
What have you heard from some of the other players on offense about Josh McDaniels' offense, just sort of picking it up? Because we've heard there's been guys, veteran guys and rookies, that have come in here and had a really hard time with it. I know Henry and Bourne said it's similar, but those guys were also in it in 2021. A lot of new guys, including Drake May. But what has sort of been the talk amongst the offensive players about picking up, in some of these guys' cases, their third offense basically in 3 years?
I think a lot of them continue to circle back to it's he's such a good teacher.
Yeah.
And I think that he will have at some point, you know, you're going to have to accelerate so that you're catching up with the rest of the league. And I don't think they're going slowly right now, but I think they're moving fast. Look, I think the tight ends are pretty adept. I think the offensive line has a fleet of fairly sharp guys. I think the running backs are sharp. Antonio Gibson's been in the league for a long time. Stevenson's no dummy. Henderson seems sharp. It's, you know, Diggs is smart. It really depends on how do Douglas, Booty, Polk and Baker.
Kyle Williams,
who yep. I also think is pretty friggin' sharp. Jared Wilson's friggin', he's very smart.
You know what's crazy? And this came out during the draft.
And this matters, folks.
No, it does.
He's a big snake guy, Keith. I don't know if you knew that about Jared Wilson.
I did hear that.
Snake guy,
he had,
yeah.
like, pet snakes, right?
Yes.
He had to, like, give them up when he went to college or
Correct.
Something. I was like, no thanks. No, but one of the takeaways was both the draft class and the free agency class was smart, professional guys. Like, they, like, across the board, like, really got really intelligent players. And so hopefully they can play, too. Like, that's more important than just
sure.
being smart. But it seems like pretty much across the board, like, if you're asking a group of players to pick up a new offense or to even to pick up a new defense, it seems like they got the right, you know, mental capacity to do so.
Yeah, if you're looking at the 2000s Patriots and you're seeing Russ Hoogstein and Tom Ashworth and Dan Copen and a bunch of guys who other teams would have looked at and said, yeah, we don't need that guy, and they win Super Bowls, it's part of the reason is they knew where to be and there weren't breakdowns. So, you know, I know that the wide receivers were not in the places they were supposed to be frequently last year. So is the coaching better? It ought to be.
Yeah.
I don't have a first-year coach. So hopefully everybody gets it. I mean, and the thing is, smart and ability to retain doesn't necessarily have to do with SATs and critical thinking.
No, oftentimes
I mean, Gronk
it's the
was
opposite.
A genius.
Yeah, right, right.
Like you played wide receiver.
Yeah,
you played receiver.
Yeah.
You played in college football.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Did you have an easy time with new offenses?
I mean, yeah, I didn't think it was the craziest
thing. Some guys
in the
world. Just say you'd have to go to him and go, "Oh my God, how can he not get this?" And he was otherwise.
Yeah, well, it wasn't that crazy. Yeah, and trust me, my SATs weren't very good.
That's I know.
But you're keeping a specifically close eye on the receivers. You're doing updates every day. You can check out Curran's latest at NBC Sports Boston. Follow him on Twitter at Tommy Curran. I don't know how to read the booty versus what feels like Kyle Williams battle, if you will. Like, Pop Douglas and Steph Diggs seem pretty secure, not only in their roles on the team, but in their roles maybe as starters. Bourne seems more tenuous. How does Mac Hollins factor in? Chisholm, Baker, Polk seem below that. But in terms of the guys repping the most with the top unit, I mean, it's not like Williams is getting no reps with May, but it feels like he and Booty are kind of battling for those same spots. How do you feel that battle is going? If it's even fair to characterize it as a battle.
I think it's a Booty-Bourne situation right now.
For making the team.
Yeah.
And Booty's got the leg up,
I think
it seems.
Booty's got the leg up because he's
Although
younger.
Although Bourne gave us good dance moves in the corner. We saw a full-on dance down there. Yeah.
Good celebration.
Yeah.
Oh, Javon Baker after the mossing also fired the ball well into the air.
Nice.
Yeah, that was good.
I would imagine that Booty's got the leg up on Bourne. As for Williams, they're different, as you would know too, I'm sure, and they're just built differently. One guy is more blocky and strong. That's Booty. And Williams is a smaller guy, probably closer to Demario Douglas size, and is more of a he's not more of a true X. If you morphed them together, it'd be great because Booty's not tall, but he's very strong, and he's not particularly straight-line fast. Williams is straight-line fast. He's just not particularly big. So maybe they're trying to get samplings of both guys' strengths and see it. I'm sure that there should be plenty of balls for all of them, but I do think it's interesting how Booty is. He's toilet paper on the bottom of your shoe. He just will not go away. Yeah. He will not go away. He's still there, and he's out there with Diggs.
And he makes plays every day. He's, I mean, like we've noticed him every single day, yeah.
So I think I've always thought that he was pretty good.
Yeah, no, and he's, I think, in the room around him, too. Like, he looks like he has a spot on the team. As for, like, Mac Hollins, any updates there on him? Because that's another guy that those players fighting for a wide receiver spot have a better chance if the longer Mac Hollins is out.
Yeah, that's a great question. I will also wonder, no, I don't have anything on Mac Hollins. I'm kind of just floating along waiting for them to say, here he is.
Mm-hmm.
But I am wondering where my guy E.F. Chisholm is.
Yeah, we have quiet, not, big OTAs.
Not noticed him much. I mean, he does filter in with the top team offense in May here and there.
Then he doesn't get the damn ball.
Right. Yeah. I notice him mostly, to be honest, outside of the individual drills, catching punts. That's the most I notice
him. Feels like a practice squad guy to me.
Yeah.
With the pads on, he's barely bigger than a traffic cone. I mean, I'm noticing that. So
yeah,
I had him.
That's tough.
I had him catching 171 passes in his first 2 years. And I'm going to have to reconfigure.
You're going to have to scale those back.
Okay,
adjust that.
Or they're going to try and smuggle him through to the practice squad, and they think that there's moles all over the
place. Oh, smart. Yeah, smart. Well, even if they're not at practice, maybe they're just watching on Twitch, Jones and Keefe every day. I'd imagine that's probably where they're getting a lot of their intel. You mentioned updates on a couple of different guys. Morgan Moses, you think there's more management. You said you don't have an update on Hollins. You seemed to intimate the Patriots are hoping that Gonzalez is more day-to-day than week-to-week. We saw
that's
him out here.
That's the sense I got. It wasn't like said, we're hoping day-to-day.
Right. But the sense you get, and he was here today. We saw him today
here,
kind of stroll through.
And I, he did have a wrap on the leg, like a lycra wrap, a warm-up trainer type thing. But I didn't see it. I couldn't tell if it was a swagger or a limp. So,
okay, well, that's what we were trying to decipher too, actually. That's the exact thing we were trying to figure out.
Pretty well. I thought maybe a little hitch in the giddy up, but maybe he's just cool.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Maybe he just got some cool swagger. What are you hearing on Carlton Davis? Because I know he was here off to the side. He's not out there.
Oh
absent
said,
again. What's up
you
with
said
that?
Colton, and I just started swiveling my head.
No, I thought I heard Carlton.
Carlton
maybe I was just
Davis,
I was anticipating the question.
Sorry. Yeah.
I love when you guys gang up on me. it was Colton.
Clip that, Nick. Yeah.
And our guy was out there for a walkthrough last night. When they do a late afternoon walkthrough, I happen to see him moving along with the rest of the group. And then I did see him as I was entering the stadium today, leaving on a golf cart, but not in any kind of disrepair. So I'm guessing he was on the lower field or the rehab field. And he was being brought in from there. But I don't know what his timeline is either. It was supposed to be management. It's still July. I would be, if I were the Patriots or a Patriots fan, I would say I'd really like to see those guys on the field against Washington next week. I'd really like to see us be able to put our team on the field against the Commanders to get a sense of what we're going to look like.
And
so,
just for clarity, those guys are Gonzalez and Davis, or who are you talking about?
Gonzalez, Davis. You want to put your full complement on the field. Next Wednesday will be the joint practice with the Commanders.
I'm excited for that. To see Jaden Daniels on the field and Drake May. And like it's Jaden Daniels had the great rookie year, but that's a fair comparison. I mean, it's the number two pick, number three pick. See what those guys could do head-to-head. Good challenge for both. What has been your take so far of just Mike Vrabel running the show? Jones and I were talking about yesterday anyway. He was really seeming to be with the offense even more than anybody else. What have you thought of just how he's been running this whole thing so far?
It remains the same as it was in the offseason. Very organized, very to the point. You ask him a question, he gives a considered answer gives you some illumination. I think he enjoys talking about the mindset of things, which I enjoy, because sometimes you can't get into too much specifics. They haven't done really very much, and still they're not doing very much. You know, I asked him yesterday, what would you look for if you were in the media? And I thought it was an interesting answer because, you know, we do have a tendency to say, oh, my God, that guy got blown up in one-on-ones. And
some are saying it's the worst offensive line they've ever seen.
Some are saying.
No, but you got a good answer out of him. He said, watch everybody's balance. And
he also
and
said he'd never do media. Which
well,
with Curran, there's no way that's
true. Garbage.
You'll do it at
You
some
called
point.
Him on that properly, yeah. Curran. But he gave you a good answer. He's like, well, watch when the linemen are there, offensive and defensive linemen. Watch if they keep their feet. And then the first thing we see with Will Campbell yesterday is he gets knocked off his feet.
Yep.
And so, no, I thought that was an interesting answer.
I do think I should say this, though, relative to Vrabel. I think he did a great job assembling a staff because he doesn't have to be all over the place doing cartwheels and saying, you know, look at me, it's Mike Vrabel's day.
Yeah, no, I mean, and it frees him up to be mostly, at least from what we've seen, with that offensive side of the field when they break down into the two separate groups. He's largely over there. Anybody down the roster that's jumped out to you? I know one name that we've noticed a lot of the beat writers have highlighted is DJ James, the young corner. Anybody that's kind of caught your eye in that vein?
I'll be really honest. I'm really focused on the starters to a large extent, to the point where when Ben Woodridge or Dobbs comes in, sometimes I'm looking down and trying to get what the ones had done.
Yeah.
And trying to process. So I wish I could come up with someone. Chason has been... You mentioned him, a guy that was omnipresent during minicamp, and he's out there a lot now. I think the second kicker, Parker Romo. I mean, I'm digging now, but he was good yesterday, and little Andy Borregales bounced back today with
nice.
A number of good kicks. Of course, Phil goes, that might have been the least impressive 6-on-6 I've seen.
Man, like, so you guys are not sold on him.
I'm like, Phil, he just can't win you over, huh?
No, I guess not. 6-for-6, pretty good. I don't know how closely you followed the Christian Wilkins situation.
Oh, yeah.
Mike Vrabel was asked about it not long ago, and he was like, yeah, we'll take a look at it. But then since then, we found out that it's much more than just like how he was rehabbing his foot. He may have also been grabbing feet of teammates, maybe giving a little smooch, something along those lines. Knowing what we know, should the Patriots have interest in a guy who was a very productive NFL player? He's still 29 years old, and at this point, I'm guessing won't cost you a ton of money.
No.
Well, it's always worth vetting how a guy would fit into your locker room. Maybe the fellas like that kind of tomfoolery. You know?
They have a bunch of guys who overlap with him a year ago. They have
Robert Splunk. You can ask him.
He brought this up. They have a bunch of ex-Raiders.
So, you know, they could probably – well, no, Josh wasn't there. I would say until you've done something with your $60 million worth of cap space, then you should continue browsing. Williams, Barmore, Tonga, Landry, White, I'm missing somebody. Even old Penny Jennings. You got a nice
Barmore
front.
Was Barmore.
No, Barmore.
Yeah.
I did a good job with that.
Mm-hmm.
But if Christian Wilkins is going to be a $15 or $20 million guy, I would say, yeah, you know what? You probably don't need that. That's a luxury item.
He might need a 1 year of like rehab deal. He might need to just come back on the field, show that he can, you know, be a good teammate, as it were, and then go from there. Maybe cash in next year, I guess.
Maybe be less affectionate.
Perhaps.
Well, you know, it's just it was a playful kiss on the head is what it was.
I guess.
As reported by Adam Schefter. He's Tommy Curran. You can check out all his latest NBC Sports Boston. Follow him on Twitter at Tom E. Curran. Of course, all over WEEI as well. Tuesdays with Jones and Keefe. On Thursday, you can yell at Andy Hart for his takes on the offensive line and check all that out on the Odyssey app. Tom, good stuff as always. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Adam. Thanks, Rich.
Thank you, Tom.
We'll get back to your phone call. 617-779-7937. That's how you jump in line for WEEI Afternoons. You got Hart. You got Fitzy. You got Ted. And another TED Talk live from Patriots training camp. We also have the clip du jour on the way. And right after trending with Billy Lanny, it's time for Grab Bag.
Take this promise for a ride. You saw the forest, now come inside. You took the legend for its fall. You saw the product of it all. Now television's in the air. Now circumcision's on the chair. You made the weapons for us all. Just look at us now. Why can't you see?
Grab bag.
Oh, it certainly is time for grab bag here on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. Patriots training camp rolls on. Day, I guess, six practice in the books. A hot one, steamy one. Back-to-back padded practices for the Patriots. We'll be back tomorrow as well. And then next week, the Commanders come to town. A week from tomorrow, it's going to be Jaden Daniels out on this practice field.
I should know this. We get 1 or 2 days of joint practices.
I think it might only be
one. Is it just the one? The way Curran was talking, it sounded like just the one. We're only going to be here that Wednesday,
right.
but I don't know what they're doing on Thursday going into the game on Friday.
Yeah, game's on Friday.
Maybe it's just the one.
I could double check, but I believe it's just the one. But looking forward to that very much. Tomorrow also supposed to be hot, so if you plan on coming down. Fewer people came today than the previous ones.
Oh, it was thin.
Well, I get it. And tomorrow, I think Thursday's actually supposed to be a lot more tolerable. I think it's supposed to be like the high 70s,
ooh,
which is going to feel like a cool fall day.
Be glorious.
Looking forward to that. But tonight, Red Sox looked to bounce back from their loss last night. It felt like extra innings, but it wasn't. That's because there was a 90-minute rain delay in the middle of the ninth inning. So if you stayed up for it, you saw my guy Jordan Hicks, who's now no longer my guy.
You're out.
I'm out now on Jordan Hicks.
Yeah.
It was a good run, a couple games. And now I'm out. So they lose to the Twins. They're now 1-3 against the Twins. They face the Twins tonight. Lucas Giolito will be on the mound for the Sox. Opposite undecided for the Twins. It's a 7:40 first pitch, 6:40 pregame right here on WEEI. The Red Sox are moneyline favorites, -125.
Giolito's going to need to turn it around, Keith.
I'm just pulling up his last couple of stuff.
So it starts in the second half.
Yeah.
Went 4-1 loss against the Cubs, 5 1/3, 4 runs all earned, home run in that one. He dropped a 6-2 on the year. Then last one, a no decision because the Red Sox won an 11 against the Phillies. He went 4 innings, 5 runs, all earned, 4 homers. ERA has gone from the low threes up to 3.97.
Yikes.
So I would encourage Breslow to do something quick, but I would also encourage Giolito, to bounce back after these last two,
also,
which have been ugly.
If he has a good first inning, I'll feel better about it. I feel like the first innings have got him.
Get through that first.
Get through that first scoreless, which, again, you look at the Twins lineup, you should be able to.
The Twins
do not offer a lot of sticks. That's a bad lineup. And who knows who's even pitching for him. It won't be Joe Ryan, right? Aren't they undecided tonight and tomorrow afternoon?
Ryan is not. When I checked yesterday, Ryan wasn't scheduled in either of these two games. I don't think
they're going to get Ryan. We're sneaking up on the trade deadline, so maybe they're holding them out just in case they get blown away by an offer. But Sox Twins tonight here on WEEI.
Grab bag, and another grab bag,
You know, that was another movie that had a real long layoff for another sequel. Now, they had already had three somewhat close together, and then a long layoff last year. Axel F.
So you're saying, I'm sorry,
Beverly Hills Cop.
When they took a long, I meant 1 to 2. I thought those were pretty close.
No, I'm saying they had like three, and they were good, and then the long layoff, and anyway, that came back, and it was fine. I hate to do this once again, Jones. We've had way too many celebrity deaths to report during Grab Bag, whether it was Malcolm Jamal Warner or Ozzy Osbourne or Hulk Hogan. The latest, a sports passing, as Hall of Famer Ryan Sandberg, at the age of 65, he had been battling cancer. He was the 1984 MVP with the Chicago Cubs, a 10-time All-Star, a 9-time Gold Glover, a home run derby champ, 7-time silver slugger. And growing up, because definitely – you know, he was really, really good in the 80s, and then he continued to be good in the 90s. But growing up, he was one of those guys that was – he was very synonymous with the Cubs.
Yeah,
for our 100%. Generation, you were like, that is a guy that the team wasn't very good, but he was great. And it was like Roberto Alomar and Ryan Sandberg were the two guys that you kind of held up as like, that's a second baseman.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody else failed in comparison to them. But, yeah, sad news out of the sports world here yesterday.
It's fun. I didn't quite realize the dominance of Ryan Sandberg. I mean, I remember him very well from our childhood.
Yeah.
But I guess I didn't remember quite the dominance
a lot of
the player
teams,
that he was.
That's why. Not his fault, but like a lot of terrible teams.
But you just went through all the accolades. Something else I didn't realize. You mentioned he's synonymous with the Cubs. He actually didn't start his career with the Cubs. He started his career as a shortstop with the Phillies. He was traded in 82 for Larry Boa. I'm sorry. Traded with Larry Boa. My mistake. Yeah. To the Chicago Cubs. And
for
so,
Ivan De Jesus.
Good get.
Yeah.
Good get there.
They'd like to have that one back.
By the Phillies.
They could have kept Sandberg.
But so I didn't realize that until I was just reading up on him. But no, sad news. And like you said, somebody very synonymous with that organization.
I remember him as one of the first athletes I remember seeing on the cover of a video game.
So I was just going to say.
Yeah.
So he was on the cover of Bases Loaded 3.
Is that what it was?
I believe for Nintendo.
I feel like I had like a handheld Ryan Sandberg baseball
game.
Maybe like, yeah. I feel like I have one of those.
Tiger games are awesome. But yeah, so 91, like, I mean, sure, there were ones before him. But for me, he's one of the first professional athletes I remember seeing on the cover of a video game.
That's pretty crazy. You know, so the Phillies, because they traded him, they missed out on what could have been like 8 years of Ryan Sandberg and Mike Schmidt in their infield.
Would have been nice.
It's insane.
Would have been real nice. And that's, you know, that's
right. They had De Jesus, though.
That's right when they were cash. When did they win the World Series? 83? So that was like right around when they won without him, I guess, after trading him.
True.
But like maybe you won a couple more.
I don't know.
Making your way in the world today takes everything you've got. Listening to Jones and Keefe sure does help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away? Sometimes you want to go where everybody grabs your bag. And they always grab your bag. You want to be where you can see your troubles are all a drag. You want to go where everybody grabs your bag.
My mistake, by the way. Phillies won in 80. They lost the World Series in 83.
Oh, so if they had Sandberg, they probably win another World Series.
Could have looked a lot different.
Good point.
Yeah.
Jones, I don't know if you got your latest Men's Health magazine.
Oh, well.
I know you're a subscriber.
It has not arrived in the mail yet, but I know where you're going with this. Yeah.
Luka Doncic on the cover. Some refer to him as Huka Doncic. Mm. Not so fast.
No.
Guy's in shape. I don't know what he's doing.
Summer shred.
He is shredded.
Yeah.
He looks like he is going to put in some work this year. I would go ahead and say MVP. He's going to be the MVP of the year next year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. The guy
looks
like $1 million. Mm. I don't know what his secret is. Maybe just like two less beers a night, but he looks amazing now.
Airbrushed.
Could be.
Could be AI. I'm going Will Clark on this. Airbrush AI.
You think it was AI?
That is not Luka. That didn't even look like Luka Doncic. That's not Luka Doncic.
He's mad at the Mavericks.
That's not him.
He asked somebody to do this versus. He is going to be super motivated, and he's going to be an incredible player next year.
Okay.
Stuff and stuff, history and stuff and stuff, people, someone's name, history and sports. Big disaster, someone's name, stuff and stuff and stuff and stuff, history, someone's name, something I don't know. Famous guy, movie star, don't know who these people are. Stuff and history, yelling really loud at me.
We didn't start the grab bag.
You know what occurred to me?
What's that?
You think Curran is even aware of the... I was like...
No.
I sang going into break. He looked caught off guard by that.
A little strange.
We should have Curran stick around for grab bag just to hear.
Grab bag's next with Curran.
Hear the stupidity.
It's like, what are all these? Yeah. The Indianapolis Colts have signed left tackle Bernhard Raimann to a 4-year deal worth $100 million.
Yeah, I mean, stupid question.
Locked him up.
Is he even good?
Bernhard Raimann. Who was a tight end at Central Michigan?
Yeah, I mean,
but apparently put on all the weight that Luka lost. Now he can play left tackle. I have no idea.
Me either.
He was a third round pick in 2022, but I saw $100 million. I was like, oh.
I read Pro Football Focus.
Yeah.
He graded out very well against the pass. But to me, I was like, well, how do you even know with Anthony Richardson? Like, I feel like he's probably not even that good. This is probably just this is going along to get along. You have a halfway decent tackle. You got to pay him. This is probably the going rate. That's my guess.
Trevor Anakin! I have the
grab bag.
You underestimate my
grab bag.
Don't try it.
Well, very exciting news, Jones. There's a lot of discussion following Happy Gilmore 2.
Yep.
About, you know, what other potential sequels, long-awaited sequels, could there be?
Where'd that slot in on the Sandler tiers? Early? Sneaky, sneaky, I
sneaky,
think.
Sneaky.
Yeah, right in the middle of
you
the Sandler
check those
tiers.
Out. Those are up at Jones and Keefe on let's see, Twitter and Instagram. We tiered almost the full filmography of that.
I'd say pretty
damn
pretty
near.
Much the entire
damn
IMDb near. Page. Yeah. Yeah.
So you can check that out there. Gremlins 3 reportedly has a script waiting to be approved by Steven Spielberg. And according to a source, Warner Brothers, quote, is incredibly interested in making the film. So we could finally get a Gremlins 3. Many thought they killed it off with the Gremlins 2, the new batch.
You've been lusting for that?
I have. I do love Gremlins. They did like a side animated series about Mogwais. It wasn't bad. But this I would watch. It's funny. There's a great Key and Peele sketch where they have the pitch table for Gremlins 2, and they're just throwing out these crazy ideas. And then at the very end of the sketch, they're like, these are all in the movie. Like, this is not,
they're not crazy.
Yeah, we didn't make up any of these.
This is actually
all in the
movie. That's like when South Park was talking about all the things that they really believe in Scientology, and they're like, these are all...
They put up a warning. They're
genuine
like,
things that are really...
This is this
their beliefs, yes.
Real. Correct.
Huh. BB Kate's in it?
She'd have to come out of retirement, I believe, but why not? A lot of actors and actresses come out of retirement, right? And that would be a bit. You got to get Phoebe Cates.
I think if you're coming out of retirement,
yeah,
you do
Gremlins 3.
Gremlins
3.
Great point.
Throwing it out there. They're not doing a Fast Times remake.
They should. That's another one. They probably check in on these guys 40 years
later. Did they end at one? They never did a sequel?
I don't think Fast Times ever got a reboot or a sequel. I'd watch that.
Sure.
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 No way. That's great.
We landed on the
grab bag.
Are the Red Sox in first place?
No.
Need to come up with a new daily question?
We might.
Okay.
How about
let's scrap that one.
Playoffs?
Are they in the playoffs? Are the Red Sox currently in the playoffs?
Do they currently reside in the playoffs?
Yes.
Yes. Yes, they do. Yes. Not by much.
No.
Lucked out with a Rangers loss last night.
They did.
But they do reside in the playoffs.
Yes. Playoff team. Are they a playoff team? Yes.
Yeah.
I want to grab. Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. I want to grab bag.
Do you want your daily Rafael Devers update?
No.
Well, you're going to get it. Rafael Devers for the Giants last night, 0-for-3 at the dish. He did walk twice, struck out once. He's hitting .231. And believe it or not, they lost again. They lost to the Pittsburgh Pirates, who are an atrocious team. They lost 6-5. So the losing continues for the Giants.
The Giants are now one game over .500 on the year. Keith, they acquired Devers. They were 10 games over .500, 41-31.
Yeah.
They were comfortably in a playoff spot. They're now out of the playoffs, 54-53, 13-22 with Devers. The Red Sox, even with last night's loss, still 20-15 without Rafael Devers.
Grab bag.
All right, let's take a look at who the top Major League Baseball performers were from last night. Was it Christian Yelich? 2-for-4, home run, 3 RBI, 2 runs scored.
Ooh, maybe.
Was it Kobe?
Get him in the derby.
Hey, was it Kobe Mayo? 3-for-4, home run, 2 RBI.
Colby?
Was it Cedric Mullins? 2-for-3, 1 home run, 2 RBI.
Kind of a Red Sox killer.
Was it Dylan Dingler? 3-for-4, home run, 2 runs scored.
That's
was
not a real
it
guy.
Andre Pallante? 7 scoreless, 4 Ks. Was it Troy Melton? 7 scoreless, 5 Ks.
Or
was it Framber Valdez?
Oh, I like him.
6 innings, 1 run, 12 Ks.
Yeah.
Was it Yoshinobu Yamamoto? 7, 1 run, 9 Ks.
Wow, oh, that's nice.
Was it Bradley Blaylock? 6 scoreless, 7 Ks.
7!
Give me Dirk Dingler. What was his name?
Yeah, Dylan Dingler.
Yeah. Give me him. Yeah.
3-for-4. Tater Tot scored twice. Guy's having a real nice year.
What do we have, like 15 nominees there?
Yeah, it was a lot.
I think we got a
Well, I want to cover all the bases. It's like Oscar nomination. Yeah, Best picture nom.
It was a good night.
Yeah, you rolled through.
A good night in the
Good night at the dish and on the mound.
Yeah, sure.
It turns out.
It's time for Jones and Keefe's
Random Brandon Phillips,
Eduardo Nunez,
Curtis Luskanic,
Baseball Player of the Day.
Okay. Okay.
I'm looking forward to Nick's spite random player.
He warned us.
He is mad how quickly we have gotten.
He warned us off the air, quote unquote, good luck with today's random ball player. That was in the last break. That's what he said to
us. If you guys do get it quick today, I'm going to be a little upset.
Okay. All right. Good to know.
All right. So we have a former Twin who was also a former Red Sox and A. He was a pitcher, threw from the right, would bat from the right only when they were in National League ballparks.
Boof Bonser.
He got it!
There's no way.
I was about to say, like, Aguilera or something. I don't even know what I was about to guess.
There's no way you got Boof Bonser that fast.
What do you mean? What do you mean? No way. You just did it.
I literally just got it.
Yeah. What are you talking about? We got that fast.
How can I possibly cheat?
Got that fast with Mike Kieferfall.
Well, you do have sunglasses on. We can't see your eyes.
That's true. But I did purposely lean away from the computer. You know what? I didn't ask Siri or anything.
What do you got? Google lenses over there? What, yeah. What do you got going on?
Yeah. These are the eyeglasses. The new eyeglasses. Boof. Yeah. You don't like a Boof Bonser pull?
Boof Bonser. Yeah, what Boof. A pull.
I mean, he's got a very memorable name.
He is on the all-name team, yeah.
Yeah. They named him Boof. He's like, hey, you have a kid. You got to come up with the name of the kid. They're like, Boof.
He's a Teen Wolf fan.
Maybe it was.
Yeah, the movie Teen Wolf, the girl that was into Michael J. Fox, her name was Boof.
That was an homage to Boof?
Yeah, I think so. I don't see why not.
Hey, really Captain Boof?
Hey, you taking out Boof?
Boof, yeah.
Interesting. I did not recall that. Boof Bonser.
Alliteration.
What a pull,
yeah, thank you.
I do think this is a better... It's better when Nick comes up with them, I think, and Keith is guessing.
Yes, yeah.
Keith is a better, look.
Nick just probably smashed the keyboard.
Yeah, he's like, forget it. He's not even there anymore. He just walked out.
Yeah, Jared is now running the show back there. Okay, well, that's the random ball player. That's how you do it, Keith. Each and every day in the grab bag, yes, even live from Patriots training camp, day 6 in the books. I know WEEI Afternoons has thoughts on it. You got Hart. You got Ted. You got Ball. And a TED Talk coming your way. At 2 o'clock, and we'll get you the clip du jour on the way next.
All right, back here at Jones and Keith, WEEI. It is time, Jones, for our clip du jour. Are you ready for that?
Oh, sounds fantastic. What's the clip du jour again?
Well, I'm glad you asked. It's the clip of the day. And today, during Kiefer Madness, we were talking about a local creature feature. That's right. Up in the great state of New Hampshire, there was a giant snake on the loose, which got us asking a lot of important questions.
Probably someone else's pet, I'd have to imagine.
I guess.
Maybe a long time ago. It snuck out through the sewer or something like that. Next thing you know, it's been feasting in the wild. But
it made it upstairs?
At one point, that thing was a pet. Had to have been.
How'd it get upstairs?
I don't know.
Can they do stairs?
Yeah.
Snakes can go upstairs.
Probably. They can crawl up trees and stuff. You don't think they can do stairs?
Trees, it can kind of wrap itself around the
banister.
Wrap itself around the banister.
No.
Yes. Billy, can snakes go upstairs?
I would assume.
100%.
Yeah. What? They're not even safe upstairs things?
So all these years, you think if there was a snake on the loose, you'd just run up some stairs and you'd be fine?
Yeah, pretty much.
It could still get you.
They slither on their bellies. I would think I'd be fine up there.
I don't think so.
So they just go like up and is horrifying.
I'm sure they do.
Oh, my God.
Really? You never think?
I wouldn't think they could do stairs. I mean, they're normally
outside. Have you never
outside.
Seen, like, I know these First are all, we're, stairs outside. I know these are different species, but you never seen, like, a dancing cobra? They're standing up. Like, they could get up some stairs.
Dancing cobra?
Yeah.
Like the snake?
Yeah, like a snake charmer dance.
I can
like,
see them
kind of grooving along. They're holding themselves up. They have a lot of ribs.
Well, there's a guy with, like, a piccolo.
Maybe. They're all ribs. They're very strong.
They have ribs?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
they can go upstairs. Yeah. They have ribs.
I don't want to think about any of this. It's all a nightmare.
That was wildly educational.
Thankfully, nobody was hurt. I like Billy. Can they go upstairs?
100%.
Oh yeah,
like,
oh, yeah.
Even
hesitate. Oh, yeah.
They can.
Yeah, they can obviously go upstairs. Of course, literally. They can go upstairs. They love going upstairs. Like, that is just so scary. I love the guy that we heard from too. He was just really worried about his cat. The snake wasn't even in his apartment.
Wow.
It was in the apartment upstairs.
Yeah, and he was trying to get his cat on the news.
He did get his cat on the news.
Well,
congratulations
to
him.
But he was, he's really, really trying to shoehorn it in there, I would say. He did. He was successful in doing so.
Does his cat have an Instagram page?
Probably. It does now.
For
after
sure.
After being on the news.
For sure it does now.
You might know him from the news.
So that is your clip du jour each and every day here on Jones and Keefe. No crossover today with Afternoons, but it'd be brought to you by the 99 Restaurant. You can visit the Nines Monday through Wednesday for their newest big deal meal, the Crispy Fried Twin Catch with North Atlantic Cod and Crispy Shrimp. Just $14.99 every Monday through Wednesday. You gotta love the Nines. Stay tuned. You got WEEI Afternoons. You got Hart. You got Ted. You got Ball. Featuring a TED Talk live from day 6, now in the books, of Patriots training camp. We'll be back for day 7 tomorrow. Still going to be oppressively hot. We got one more day of the heat. Is that right?
Yeah, it's going to be real hot tomorrow.
Okay.
Another hot one.
We'll be here for it in the flesh.
Bring a wet towel.
A little cool towel. Maybe I might invest
in one
of those.
You're going to need a little cool towel.
On the way home, we got a Would You Rather Wednesday tomorrow. Short program leading up to some day Red Sox baseball. That's all tomorrow. Stay tuned for WEEI Afternoons. They got you covered. And we'll talk to you at 10 tomorrow on WEEI.